The gift of healing brings a little controversy. How can we reconcile a clear biblical gift of the Holy Spirit with a modern approach to ministry in the local church? How can the body of Christ engage the real needs of hurting people in our cities, communities, and churches? We'll discuss this and more right now on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. Well, welcome back to the Five Gifts Podcast. We've been on a bit of a break, although our content has been going up every week. Charles and I just spent a little over a week in the Dominican Republic with a friend of ours, Dale Shorter from Texas. Shout out to Dale. This is his first time with us, conducting pastors' conferences, teaching the church life missional model. We have been investing in pastors there in the Dominican Republic for a little over a year now, and we've been training and teaching and spending time with them praying and believing for revival in their country. And I believe it's coming, Charles. How about you?
Absolutely. It is, as you said many times on our trip, it's right under the surface. It's bubbling up. And we're seeing, I believe, the first fruits of a mighty move of God in the Dominican Republic. And I know you are. I'm thrilled. We're absolutely thrilled to be a part of what God's doing in such a wonderful country with a wonderful group of people. It's really amazing. And so, but we're back. I mean, we're back in the States now, and I had a great weekend. I was privileged to fill in for you, Bruce, to stand behind your holy desk, behind you, fill your pulpit for you. And man, what an honor that was. Thank you for that. I do have to apologize. I think my big head probably stretched out your headset mic. And so anyway, I apologize for that, but it is what it is. But thanks for letting me, share the word at your church. I think we had a great time yesterday.
Yeah, I've already gotten some great feedback from our people, and I know that you ministered to them, and I wouldn't worry about that microphone. First of all, it's old, but it's got a good build quality, so I'm sure it'll spring right back into shape. I was surprised it didn't fall off your ears as big as my head is. Charles, well, one of my favorite things that we did while we were in the Dominican Republic, just spending time with those pastors and leaders. Mm-hmm. And you know, I love presenting the content. I love teaching. I love watching you teach. In fact, I just love seeing the absorption taking place from those leaders. They really are hungry. Sure. And absolutely. I think maybe at the top of my favorites list for the week was teaching the healing prayer model to those leaders and seeing them begin to practice. Mm-hmm. And we had testimonies of God doing some significant things in the room in the moment. And so today I know we want to talk about the healing prayer model. Any comments on that experience before we dive in today?
Sure. This is what we're going to talk about today. As we said in the opening, it is a bit controversial. I mean, depending on your views regarding healing, but as we've said before, and we make no apologies about, we're fully Pentecostal. We believe in the Spirit-filled life and the gifts of the Spirit, and certainly healing is one of those gifts that we believe is active. We believe Jesus is still healing today, and to be able to share with our Dominican our brothers and sisters about this, the gift of healing and a healing model that you and I have been trained in, that we have utilized in the churches that we've led or are leading, to be able to go to the Dominican and teach them about healing prayer and to teach a healing model that we've seen be effective and to watch it become effective in a different country, in different cultural contexts and settings, is just, I was going to say it's just amazing, but I remember a conversation a few episodes ago. I'm looking for a different word. It was phenomenal. So to just be a part of that, is really, it's just incredible. And so what we have been trained in healing prayer, the same model that we lead in our churches, that we are training other pastors in the Dominican, here in the States, we want to begin to talk about today. And it is a definite model, but what we have witnessed and experienced is that healing, certainly it originates from Christ. It comes from Him, but it seems to flow really well through the model that we're going to teach today and discuss. And so, as we think about healing prayer, Bruce, what does the gift of healing look like in the local church? Because that's what we're doing on this podcast, is trying to help and lift the local church. So what does healing look like in the local church?
Charles, I think that's a great question to think about the gift of healing, because I believe the gift of healing should be in the local church. I believe it is the expression of Christ in a dimension that meets needs. It's consistent with Jesus's ministry on earth. And you're right. And we're not going to apologize for believing in the gift of healing. That can be a conversation for another day. I'm fully comfortable defending my position on the gift of healing, because I think I understand some of the pushback and why there's pushback. Some might be legitimate, just some different interpretations of scripture. Others are based, I think, on maybe observing some of the abuses of that gift. Just mm-hmm. like all the gifts in the body of Christ, they all have points of abuse. And I think it's important to remember, though, that it is a gift to be expressed in the body of Christ. It is Christ's body. And just as we've discussed that the five gifts of Ephesians 4, I think it's important to remember that all the gifts of the Spirit mm-hmm. are those gifts that Jesus embodied. So I think if we talk about the gift of healing in the local church, I think it's first to fix our understanding based on the biblical mandate. I believe that when Paul mentions gifts of healing, in fact, he uses the plural word for gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. I think we need to understand that happens through many applications. Healing can impart life to one's physical body, their emotional or their soul well-being. In fact, I think healing has a lot to do with soul care, but it is an expression of the Holy Spirit demonstrating the gifts and the power and the ministries of Jesus. So I think it's important to remember that the Bible teaches us that the gifts of the Holy Spirit come, and some of that is expressed in gifts of healing. So whatever that may do for the body, the mind, or the spirit, I think it's all consistent with Jesus's character of compassion. I mean, Jesus went around doing good, healing the needs of people around him. As far as I can see in scripture, he never turned anyone away. And he limited his ministry in places where there was lack of faith. And in fact, where there was even the Pharisees at one time demanded a sign, and he refused to do any more signs based on their spiritual disposition. But wherever he saw needs, compassion really motivated him to minister. And I think the gift of healing is consistent with a compassionate work of Jesus in our churches. So definitely that needs to be in there. There's other things that come to mind, such as the laying on of hands, which is an expression James mentions when it comes to the invitation to those in the body. If anyone's sick, let him call for the elders of the church, let them come and lay hands on them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. So there is the gift of healing expressed through leadership, but then he turns right around and he says, confess your trespasses, your faults, one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. So I think healing is something that can take place in so many layers of the body, so many different expressions of the body. I'm using that word expressions a lot, kind of like the way I get on people for using amazing, so forgive me. But you know, that release of the gifts of healing, they happen, I think, number one, they happen in the empowerment of the Spirit, but also that expression of genuine concern and care relationship. I think even the anointing with oil, I know that has some Old Testament significance, being the point of agreement, the point of where the Spirit is is received, you know, in at least in the impartation of the gifts. But also, I also believe that the gift of healing through the anointing with oil, I think there's a symbolic expression of, you know, care, compassion, just like ointments and oils were used to comfort and to soothe. I think that's a beautiful picture of the gift of healing in the local church. Mm-hmm. So while the Bible gives us those mandates and those images, you know, I think we need to pull back from historical applications. I think sometimes we understand ministry not through scripture, but just based on what we've seen. And so, and that can limit our view or our understanding of ministry. So when we talk about healing, I mean, my word, how much have we seen around healing that has been overly sensationalized? That doesn't diminish the fact that healing can be a supernatural gift. But I think, you know, we all have images, I think, of healing being a very sensational spectacle. And, you know, I think healing is one of the gifts the Holy Spirit does to, I think, confirm the authority and the authenticity of Christ. I think it clearly is something that even the Apostle Peter said, Jesus was attested by miracles, wonders, and signs, you know, those works of healings. And so I still think that gift is valid, but it can come off being kind of it gets a spotlight that on a person, like the quote unquote healing evangelist, the man at the front or the woman at the front that's doing the work of healing. And if we want healing, we go to that person and we let the gifted man or woman of God lay their hands on us or do their thing. And I think that tends to get, the emphasis off of Jesus and on people. I think even sometimes, I know in our culture, our spirit-filled culture, a lot of times healing can come with that tendency to place people on pedestals. Mm-hmm. And what I believe that Jesus is wanting to do is release that gift genuinely, relationally, compassionately. And I think, you know, we've talked about the gift of healing. Instead of putting it in that public worship service, what we like to tell people is put it in the small group, put it in mm-hmm. teams of people that are, that can happen. That can certainly happen on a Sunday morning. It can happen in a revival service, but it puts the emphasis on the body being used to ministry. And I think that's what we're going to talk about today. So Charles, if we take that approach to healing ministry, what does that look like in the local church?
Sure. Well, let's begin to talk about this model. And this could be or can be a distinctive for our spirit-filled churches. And by that, I mean, I'm kind of going out on a limb and using a broad brushstroke here. But my guess is that there are probably not very many healing ministries, at least like the way we're going to begin to describe this healing model, that are active in and through churches. And so this could be a great opportunity. It's more than a program. It's a great opportunity to facilitate the ministry of Jesus, the healing ministry of Jesus, not only in the local church, but into the local community. I think a great place to begin with this model is certainly in the church, because this is all built around forming prayer teams of three. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But as we build the teams and as we begin to kind of massage this model into the church, then it can be opened up to the community where our churches are established, that for the community to begin to come in and we'll talk about setting appointments and receiving healing prayer. What a great idea and concept you've surfaced for us of moving prayer out of the worship service and into a relational small group. That's a huge dynamic that comes into play in this healing model. And so we're going to advocate for that. Not that we totally remove prayer, as you said, from our worship services, but this kind of healing prayer and exercising this model we're going to describe today is built. It's custom fit, custom suited for the a small group environment. And so, with those things in mind, let's begin to talk about this healing model, how the church, the local church, can begin to pray effectively for healing. First of all, we have to have a team. We need a team, and you can have multiple teams of multiple prayer teams. And so the kind of one of the requirements for each team, we need three people in each team. So you may have multiple teams, and that's wonderful, but each team needs to be comprised of three individuals. And as you begin to form the teams, you want to be specific, and you want to be intentional of how you're forming these teams. And so you want all the gifts, you want all the gifts of Christ resident in these teams. None of us possess all of the gifts. Only Christ has all the gifts. So it takes about three of us to make one Jesus. It's kind of tongue in cheek, but I think that illustrates the point we're making is with a team of three, we can ensure that we have the full complement of gifts resident in that team. So we need someone who is gifted in the knowledge gifts, who may operate in words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gift of prophecy, those knowledge gifts. Someone who is gifted in power gifts, gifts of healing, gifts of faith, those gifts that lend themselves to power, the power of Christ flowing through an individual into that team. Someone who's gifted in the verbal gifts. I said gifts of prophecy a minute ago for knowledge, but the gift of prophecy, someone who may be gifted in a gift of prophecy, those verbal gifts, those gifts that where we speak for God, we speak the message of God. And so we want that complement of gifts resident in each team. So it's important that as we form our teams, we're intentional of how we form them so that each team has the full complement of gifts. Because again, it takes about three of us to make one Jesus.
So Charles, what I hear you saying is, you know, we put the teams together because in the team there's more giftedness. You have someone that's leading that, but you have supportive team members that are operating in those supportive gifts that give insight, that can just bring a unique expression of Jesus, you know, through their own giftedness. I think that's hugely important for people to understand that's the importance of the team. It brings more gifts into those moments.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so we want all of Jesus on the scene. And so we want all of his gifts there. And so we're intentionally building a team with this full complement of gifts. So we're forming the team. We're training the team. So pastor, leader, as you're building this model and building these teams, you want to train them, and you can look back on this episode and you can take this model and begin to lead your teams through this model and train on them, or train them and then have them pray for you. So don't skip the training. Your teams need to be comfortable with this model. So you form the team, you're developing them, you're training them. Now it's time for the prayer event, for the prayer moment, be it in a worship service or what we're going to advocate for is in a smaller group environment. It's time someone has come and they've requested healing prayer. So the team is gathered and the team is all prayed up. The team's trained up, the team's ready, formed up and ready to go. And so before we begin praying, we must do an interview. And so the team is going to ask one simple question. And it is this: they're going to ask the individual, what is it that you need from Jesus? That's the question. It's a question that Jesus asked all through the Gospels. He may have used different language and different words, but when you boil it down time and again throughout the Gospels, Jesus asked this question of people who were in need. And basically it was, what do you need of me? And people who responded positively and they submitted to the Lordship and the authority of Christ, they received ministry. On the other hand, there were also people who did not want ministry from Christ. And so it seems like to me throughout the Gospels, when Jesus would ask this question, people that were open, people that were ready to receive ministry from Christ, they received. People that weren't, did not. And so, but we're going to ask this question. This is the interview. What do you need of Jesus? And with one ear, the team is going to listen to the person who's in the small group environment, who's in the room. With one ear, listen to them. What are they saying? most probably, they're going to describe symptoms. They're going to ask for relief from symptoms. That's it may not be the case at all times, but that seems to be a common occurrence, people asking for relief from symptoms. But anyway, whatever they're saying, whatever they're communicating, we're going to listen to them. With the other ear, we're listening to the Holy Spirit. He's active on the scene in the moment, and he has insight into what's happening, into this person's mind and their body and their relationships, whatever it is, where they've come for healing. We're going to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying over this person, because there may be some deeper truth that the Holy Spirit reveals that the individual does not disclose to us. So we want to listen to the person, but we also want to listen to this divine communication as well. And then, as a team, I think what's very key, we want to present ourselves as humble servants. We're not the experts in the room. We've not ridden in on our white horses to save the day. We're simply there to function as a healing team, to function in the gifts of the Spirit, all through the posture of servanthood. We're there to serve this individual. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the expert. We're servants. We're there to serve this individual. So that's the interview. That's step one.
Charles, if I could, before you make the next jump into step two, I want everyone to know that our model is not original. We're not claiming our model to be original. Yeah. We've gleaned from dozens and dozens of sources, and the interview in other healing models is foundational. And I want to add that, when Charles talks about being a servant, I think one of the best ways that we serve individuals is by being fully present. Mm-hmm. We're not there for our agenda. We're there for the Spirit's agenda. God is arranging those moments. And so it's important, just as any interviewer is listening to responses, we want to listen to responses and listen. One of the best ways to serve others is to be fully present, focused, and listening. And the thought came to me, Charles, when you said, we're not riding in on a white horse. us, we're not wearing white coats. We're not experts. We're not there to diagnose. We're there to listen. We're there to listen to what their need is and their hurt and their pain. their dilemma. We want to let Jesus' compassion in us be triggered. We want to feel what Jesus feels for them. And so I think absolutely it's important to be tremendous listeners to them, but also what is the Holy Spirit saying? You mentioned the knowledge gifts. Well, I think those gifts are rooted in listening, expecting the instruction of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. And so the step of the interview really sets us up for the next piece of the process, the second step, if you will. The team must make a decision. And so it's critically important that we do exactly what you said, Bruce. We serve, we listen, we're present in the moment in that interview portion, because in step two, we have to make a decision. We have to decide and really settle on what's the root problem that's taking place. And so that's the question we're going to ask as a team. Now, listen, this is all happening in real time, and there's back and forth with the team and with the individual. And so, you know, I don't want you to think this is all kind of segmented. This is real time. It's a back and forth dynamic taking place. But in the moment, in this process, the team, we're asking, we've done the interview, now we're asking the Holy Spirit. We're not asking the person. We're asking ourselves as a team, we're asking the Holy Spirit, what is the root problem here? We've heard the individual's description. This is what I want from Jesus. We're listening to the Holy Spirit, and now we're asking, the kind of drilling in a little deeper, getting more specific. What is the root problem? What's really going on in this individual's life? And that's why it's critically important that our teams have this, the full complement of gifts. We need people who are gifted in knowledge gifts. We need people who are gifted in these power gifts and verbal gifts, because this is a process of discernment that's taking place. And so you need those knowledge gifts there too, who through words of wisdom, words of knowledge, through discernment, can begin to get a sense, get an understanding of this is truly what's happening in the individual's life. So that's the question. We've done the interview. We've made the decision. We've decided what is truly happening. What's the root problem in this individual's life? And then we're gonna take the third step. As a team, we're leading this individual through the process. Now it's time to, we have to make our prayer selection. We're going to pray, and when we do pray, what is it that we're going to pray? And so, again, we're asking another question here of the team, of the Holy Spirit. What does God want to do for this person now? We've asked the individual, what do you need from Jesus? Now we're asking, what does God want to do? What is his agenda? What is his desire? What is his will for this person? What does God want to actively do in this individual right now? And we don't want to skip over that, because we want to be in alignment and in agreement with what Jesus wants to do on the scene. And so we need to ask that question and avail ourselves to those answers. What is it that God wants to do for this person right now? And so then we began to kind of look through the toolbox of prayers, I guess, four kinds of prayer that we can begin to decipher and begin to choose from. Number one is spiritual healing. Is that the kind of prayer this person needs? Is there a need for spiritual healing? Second kind of prayer could be for inner healing or emotional healing. Well, you know, a lot of times we don't deal with what's happening in the inner person. And so it could be this person needs a prayer for inner healing. It could be an issue of physical healing. that they've come for prayer for, and that God wants to act in their life. And then it could be a matter of deliverance. And so, again, discerning, conversing with the team, praying, actively listening, all these things are working together, and we're going to make our prayer selection from one of those four types of prayer. And then oftentimes as we train our teams, this question, at least in my experience, as I've trained teams, I'll hear some pushback or a little resistance through comments like this. Well, what if we're wrong? Or here's the really what they're worried about. What if we damage the person? What if we hurt the person by praying for them? And I'm just going to say to you, you're not going to hurt the person. Even if you're wrong, you're not going to damage them. Because again, what is our posture? We've talked about this earlier. We're coming as servants. We're coming as servants of Christ, who we believe is the healer, who we believe wants to heal this individual or this family, and we're coming to serve them. And so when we come with that posture, with that right attitude of wanting to serve them, of love and care, of acceptance, of wanting to see them healed, when we come with this kind of pastoral, relational approach, because this is where the pastoral gifts really begin to operate, of care and empathy and love and service. You know, as we begin to serve people, we're not going to hurt them. So as an example, Pastor, we talked about we want to train our teams. Don't just tell them what to do. We want to show them a model for them and help them to understand how to do this. And so as you're training your teams, you're going to bring your team of three. And I remember I would train a team, and they would get so excited. And then I would say, okay, now you're going to pray for me for the next 30 minutes. I'm going to sit in this chair. And as a team, you're going to go through this model, and you're going to pray for me. And they would get wide-eyed and nervous and kind of some of those same questions. What if we get this wrong? What if we do it wrong? What if we hurt our pastor praying for him? And so I'd have to say to them, look, are you serious? The three of you are getting ready to pray for me from a place of concern, from a place of love, from a place of wanting to see me healed and ministered by Jesus. There's no way you're going to damage me. You're not going to hurt me. Three of you for 30 minutes. I'm getting ready to get an hour and a half of concentrated, focused healing prayer from this team. There's no way you're going to hurt me. I'll take this every day of the week. You know, even if you feel like you got it wrong, I'll take a group of three praying for 30 minutes, praying for an hour. From a place of love and concern. So I don't want to belabor the point, but I do want to make the point that, look, you're not going to hurt people. We're serving them. We're loving them. We're caring for them. And we're there to serve and facilitate the healing power of Christ in their life.
Charles, so, as you talk about that, you know, I'm thinking of the team and that dynamic of the team working together. Talk about the interaction of the team for a minute, because I think when you get to step three, where we're actually praying for maybe the mentioned need, the acknowledged need, maybe mm-hmm. even the discerned need. You mentioned those. We listen to the Holy Spirit. Where does God want to work in this person now? So talk about the team interaction for a minute. How those gifts are working together. If you need to use scenarios, that's fine, but. But give us some texture there.
Sure. Well, that takes us to really the fourth step in this model. We've selected our prayer in step three, and now step four is our prayer engagement. We're going to actually engage in prayer. And so again, this is a dynamic, interactive process with the team and the individual, among the team. So in this step of prayer engagement. we want to take a moment and instruct the individual. We want to give them some instruction first. Things like, hey, listen, just quiet yourself. You don't need to pray. Most people, that's kind of what we fall into. The individual will begin to pray. We want to instruct them. Just quiet yourself. Be still. Be silent. Close your eyes. If anything, you may want to lift your hands just as a posture of receiving from the Lord. But we want you to be quiet and to just quiet yourself and receive. So we're going to give them some instruction. But now the team springs into action. And so as a team, this is these team dynamics come into place. And so the team needs to have a good relationship as well with one another. So the team has to decide who's going to pray first, who's going first. So again, we have this gift mix of knowledge gifts, power gifts, verbal gifts, and we've come to the place of prayer, but who's going to lead out in prayer? And so again, the team is communicating. We're discerning from the Holy Spirit as well. It's a constant practice of divine and human communication and how those two intersect. And so we decide, all right, do we need to worship first? Do we need to just take a moment and begin to worship to kind of set the atmosphere for healing? Or it could be that we need to pray for the anointing to come first, the anointing for healing, that power to come and heal this person. Does that need to lead? And every situation is different. We can't just write the formula and say you're going to do this every time. It's an act of discernment. This is a spiritual exercise that we're doing here. It could be that that compassion needs to lead the way first. It could be this person needs the tears of Jesus to come and wash their wounds. And so the team, from a place of relationship, we're talking, we're communicating, we're asking, we're discerning together. What is Jesus? He's here. What does he want to do in the moment? And so we're asking these questions and we're deciding who's going to pray first. All right. So we've decided in this case, compassion needs to go first. Probably in a situation where someone needs inner healing, there's a lot of turmoil and wounds emotionally. That's probably a great time to allow compassion, to allow empathy, to just begin to be a salve, like you talked about, to bring healing, to bring comfort to the individual. So, I mean, we could talk about all kinds of scenarios, but again, it's a matter of discerning and communicating within the team. So we've decided who's going first, and now how are we going to pray? So here's a few kind of tips, a few instructions on how the team should pray. First of all, everybody keep your eyes open. Don't close your eyes and pray. We want you to to keep your eyes open and pray. We've instructed the individual. We want them to quiet themselves, close their eyes, but we're going to keep our eyes open. And I can hear somebody right now because I've heard it before. Yeah, but what if they open their eyes and they see me looking at them? And I'm just like, well, the first time it's going to be weird because it's new. It's a different, this isn't how we're used to praying. But it's important that we keep our eyes open as we're praying for them. We're going to lay our hands on them and pray. Again, Bruce, you mentioned about anointing oil and laying on of hands as a point of contact. I think about Peter as he walked down the street and his shadow was cast on folks and they were healed. Jesus, he spit in the dirt and made mud and applied that to the blind man's eyes. People were healed. It's a point of contact. So we're going to lay our hands on on the individual. Our eyes are open. Our hands are physically touching the person. And you know, that may be a good place to say, we'd like to lay our hands on you and pray for you. Do we have your permission? Is that okay? Can we do that? And then again, we're continuing to follow the Holy Spirit. We're continuing to discern how Jesus is moving, how Jesus is operating and wants to work in this individual. Then we want to be sensitive to the person. Look, this is why we keep our eyes open, so that we can be sensitive, so that we can not only flow and follow along with the Holy Spirit, but we can minister in a way that is meeting the need of the individual. So we keep, that's one reason why we would keep our eyes open, because listen, if we all have our eyes closed, we're not able to see or determine how the person is reacting, how they're responding to healing prayer. People will respond, and those are good indicators of if we're in the right vein of prayer, or if we need to move and find another way in which to pray, so we have our eyes open, we're being sensitive, and we're praying for them. People, they may begin to audibly agree or affirm what we're praying. That's a good sign that we're in the right vein of prayer. People's eyes, they may flutter. Sometimes people's their skin may get hot, warm or hot to the touch. People, we respond when there's power at work in us. We're going to respond, and so we want to keep our eyes open so we can be sensitive to the individual that we're praying for. And then last, we want to be respectful of the individual. So again, before we lay our hands on someone, lest they think we're getting ready to attack them, ask for permission. Be respectful. Hey, is it okay? Do you mind if we lay our hands on you and pray? That may require an explanation. If they're new to this kind of environment, they may need to be educated a bit on what the laying on of hands means. And so we just want to be respectful where and how we lay our hands on someone, our tone of how we're communicating with people. I mean, we could go on and on. Bottom line is, we want to be respectful of the individual in this prayer moment. And then a common denominator throughout this entire prayer process is we want to engage in prayer, and then we want to disengage. So we want to engage in prayer for a few minutes, 2 or 3, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. You know, I probably wouldn't go longer than 5 minutes, but just for a few moments at a time, we want to engage in prayer. The team is praying. Now, the team is not all praying audibly at once. We're praying one person at a time, and then the other two are in the background, and we're praying, but we're sensing, we're discerning, we're asking Jesus, we're being sensitive to the person. And so one is leading in prayer, the other two team members are supporting in prayer. And so let's say we've prayed for 2 or 3 minutes. Now we want to disengage in prayer. And what are we going to do there? We're going to ask the individual, hey, are you sensing anything changing? What are you feeling? What's going on in your mind, in your emotions, in your body? I mean, just, we want to ask them. We want to communicate with the team. You know, hey, are we in this right, in the proper vein of prayer? Do we need to shift? Do we need to change how we're praying? Who's next? We've brought compassion in. Now let's, I just sense we need the anointing to lead in this prayer. So again, we're asking questions. We're discerning. We engage, we disengage, we re-engage. And so it's a promise, a process. It's a back and forth, kind of an in and out, and it gives us opportunity to really focus in You know, much like when you go to the eye doctor and they say, all right, is it closer here, or is it more in focus here or this way? And so you go through this whole exam of saying A or B, and finally, at the end of the exam, your eye doctor has dialed in kind of the pathway or the approach, the prescription for you. And so in this engaging and disengaging, in this process of prayer, we're dialing in, we're tweaking, we're getting really, really getting into that, to that place where Jesus can release his healing in the person's life. Bruce, I've talked a novel's worth here. So any ideas or thoughts about this prayer engagement process?
I think we need to reemphasize, this is a team approach. It uses all the members of the team, and the leader is the one facilitating. The leader is the one that may be leading in prayer, and instructing the person that we're praying for to relax, to receive prayer. But also that's probably the leader is the point person to involve other people on the team into, like, for example, as we're praying, you may want to say to team members, what are you hearing from the Lord? Is the Lord giving you anything specific? Are you discerning anything? It's just a way of inviting those gifts into the process of working together and releasing the ministries of Jesus in the moment. And, you know, I think, Charles, one of the things I'd like to remind people, and you've done a great job already, but when we say keep your eyes open, that's not a method or a technique. That's about being fully present. Mm-hmm. That's about taking in everything that's happening. It's you're not sinning if you happen to close your eyes, but what we're saying is, Be present in the moment. Be fully present. And you need to see what's happening. You need to be aware of using the senses that God has given you to see and to listen and to feel. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking back to last week. I had a moment when we were demonstrating the healing prayer model as we were praying for an individual. I mean, I had a physical sensation. I was a support person. Mm-hmm. I think you were facilitating, and I had my hands laid on this person's back because of an issue. And I began to feel, I wouldn't call it heat. I would mm-hmm. almost call it like, just a surge of energy, almost electric. And it went from their body into my hand. Mm-hmm. And then it went back out. I've never experienced that before, but that's one of those sensations you look at and you say, okay, is the Lord doing something in that moment? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I know that sounds a little odd, and it's very subjective. I mean, I'm not here to quantify that biblically. I'm just saying that experientially, those are things that you want to be aware of. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great advice, especially great advice when you're dealing with something where deliverance is involved. You mm-hmm. you don't want to be caught unaware. So yeah. Again, keeping your eyes open is about being fully present, like we said in the beginning.
Absolutely, and again, this is a spiritual process from beginning to end. It's a process of discerning, of reflecting, and that's hard for us. Again, we're from the Pentecostal tradition, and if I can use some golf language here, sometimes when it comes to prayer, not sometimes, oftentimes, we just like to grip it and rip it, right? We just like to go for it, and you know, and this unashamedly, there's nothing wrong with that. But what we're saying in this is a more relational approach to prayer, and this is a small team. This is an individual. This is a small group, a small room environment, and we're here to facilitate through a relational approach of prayer. We're here to serve these people in the ministry of healing, and so. While I may be tempted to fall to my default and just grip it and rip it and, you know, call fire down from heaven. That's not what's needed in throughout this entire process. There may be a moment where we go for it, but by and large, we are through a team, facilitating the gifts of Christ, through a relational structure, and it's a back and forth dynamic of discerning, of reflecting, of re-engaging. And you're absolutely right, Bruce. It forces us to be present, and not to just hit the default button or hit the easy button, but to stay in the moment and to focus on the individual, to focus on Christ, and through a bridge of relationship, facilitate now the healing ministry of Jesus into an individual's life. So yeah.
Charles, I know you want to get into the final step here, but if you could indulge me for a moment. Sure. I just feel like it's important to say again, as you're praying together with teams, you're making available a variety of gifts in mm-hmm. that moment of healing prayer. And I'm thinking back to something that happened, a prayer team that I was involved in. It's been kind of recent, and it was a very important need. I know that I found myself and our team that we were praying for, this individual, just been basically given a diagnosis that they were on the cusp of a chronic kidney failure. Mm-hmm. And I remember, as the team began to engage, there was a lot of faith. There was a lot of investment. This was a person close to us. And I guess maybe I took the lead in that moment, but I remember seeing other people involved and contributing and praying. And I remember there was a moment, and Charles, you're part of that team, but I remember there was a moment, I think it was after you had shared in that prayer team something the Lord had given you, that two of our prayer members were really going for it. I mean, they lifted their voices. They were bold. Mm-hmm. They were forceful, not in the sense that they were forcing an issue, but they were very bold in their faith, very bold mm-hmm. in what they were believing for. And it was absolutely needed in that moment. That moment was needed as we prayed. And I remember letting them go to the front. You talk about engagement and then disengagement. Okay, I was disengaging, let other people step forward mm-hmm. and minister. And in that moment of disengagement, the Lord gave me discernment. It was, you know, I struggled to quantify that. Paul calls them mm-hmm. words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discernment. And I can't tell you exactly what this was, but I can tell you that I began to see an image in my mind of something I thought spoke to the situation. And mm-hmm. I remember that image. It was an image of a little boy and facing the corner as though they were being punished. Mm-hmm. And so once two of our prayer team members pulled back from their very forceful, very bold and passionate prayer, I just stepped forward and I said, listen, to the person we're praying for, this is what I'm seeing. And I just feel like there's a hesitancy in you to believe that God wants to heal you because for some reason you feel like you're under condemnation. Mm-hmm. And that person acknowledged that they feel that, mm-hmm. That condemnation and hesitancy to believe. And I just began to share with them that God was their father. He loved them. And this was a moment of provision that God really did want to do something in their life. And that's all I did. I just encouraged them to declare that, to receive that over themselves. And they did. And, you know, we prayed a little bit more and then we were done. And so I share that as a way of helping people see that that interaction with the team,
mm-hmm.
that as some gifts are stepping to the forefront, other gifts are being released, and we need that engagement, disengagement. And, there's a great testimony from that experience,
mm-hmm.
to where it was just a few days later, the kidney numbers were absolutely in the opposite direction. They were very great numbers,
mm-hmm.
and numbers that tended to verify that or confirm that there was a healing.
Absolutely.
That had taken place. So, you know, and I share that. I boast in Jesus about that. I just share that to say, I just believe Jesus is a healer.
Mm-hmm.
And I rejoice over that moment, seeing God use our team that way. He could have used another team, but we made ourselves available.
That's right.
To that moment. And I believe the Lord was glorified.
Amen.
Charles, if I share too much, come back in and get us back on course. Maybe you want to get us into the final step. I know we're coming up on our hour in a few minutes. So if you want to go ahead and take us to some conclusion today.
Sure. So last step we're going to make here is we call it the post-prayer direction. So again, we're going to ask another question. What should this person do to remain healed? Or what should this person do if they've not been healed? So we want to be ready to again, we're asking the team, we're asking the Holy Spirit, asking this question. At all times, we want to be encouraging in this post-prayer direction time. We want to be encouraging. We want to be positive. This is a moment or an opportunity to give some practical instructions. Now let me, with a word of caution, say we are not going to give medical advice here. We're not qualified to give medical advice. We're not doctors. In no way and at no time should you ever give medical advice. But what can we do? We can give advice from Scripture. We can minister if we have sensed that the Lord has given us a word of wisdom or knowledge or encouragement for this person. We can minister that to the individual. We can give spiritual advice because we're people of God. And so we've given our lives to Him. We're servants of God. And so we are not going to give medical advice during this time. Then the last thing is we want to keep accurate records because we want to be able to follow up on people that have come and received healing prayer. We want to be able to follow up on them to continue this prayer relationship. If these are people in the community who are just coming to the church to receive prayer, praise God for that. But we want to be able to follow up and to continue building a relationship with them, to not just bring them into the church, but we want to bring them into a relationship with Jesus and establish them in the church so that now they can be discipled, they can grow in the Lord and mature in their faith. So we want to keep accurate records of who is receiving healing prayer. And there's many other reasons why, implications why we want to keep accurate records. But at bottom line, keep accurate records of who is receiving prayer. Then the last thing I want to say about this model is this can really develop into a great system, a great ministry of the church. Yes, you can pray for, do healing prayer in the worship service at an altar call, around the altar, but you're very limited in time. You may have 30, 45 seconds, 60 seconds. You're just limited, there, but if you can begin to develop this, and choose a night of the week, say a Tuesday night, I'm just choosing a random night, but let's say a Tuesday night. You begin to offer this to the church, to the community. So now someone comes for prayer during an altar service and you're able to pray for them. But what that your prayer team in the morning worship service can say to the individual is, hey, we have a healing ministry in this church. We're here every Tuesday night and we'd love for you to make an appointment to come in. We begin at 7 o'clock PM on Tuesdays. And so we'd love for you to make an appointment, and we do 30 minute appointments, or we do 45 minutes, or we do an hour, however long you choose those times to be. But we do a 30 minute appointment, and we'd love for you to come in, and for 30 minutes, our prayer team will just, we're going to pray and minister over you. And what you'll begin to find is that as people engage this prayer ministry, this healing ministry, healings are going to begin to increase and grow in number in the church. And then what a great ministry to establish for the community to connect to your church through the healing ministry of Jesus. They can come and begin to receive this focused healing prayer in their lives. What a great entry pathway into the church for the lost sons and daughters of God in the community you're serving. Well, that is the healing model that we have been trained in, that we utilize, and that we train other pastors and church leaders in. And our prayer is that you would begin to experiment, I guess, begin to exercise this model in your life and in the life of the church where you're leading.
Bruce, yeah, and guess what, Charles? Guess what? We're going to put a PDF of the healing prayer model in the show notes below, and you're welcome to download that and use that. You're also welcome to ask us any questions and follow up on that with us. We'd be glad to discuss that with you further. This has been a fantastic episode. This is one of my favorite things to do in our pastors' conferences. Mm-hmm. So we're excited to bring that to you today. We want to thank everyone for joining us today on the Five Gifts podcast. Please remember to like, follow, subscribe, share, hit that like button. And we also have a Facebook page. We'd love for you to follow our Facebook page. And we can do so much more as our followers increase on that. We've seen an uptick in the last week or so, but we're excited to present that to you as well. It's a great place for resources. Also, you can view episodes of the Five Gifts podcast. You can also reach out to Charles at charlesrussellministries.com and charlesrusselltraining.com. We have information there with Charles's ministry where he can set you on a growth plan. If you have a growth mindset, Charles is your guy, and he can customize training for you as you grow as a leader, both in the workplace as well as in the local church. You can also reach out to me at my coaching website at coachingcardia.com. Again, just as Charles makes himself available to you, I'm available to you to help out in any of your coaching needs, and you'll find that to be a rewarding experience. We look forward to seeing you next week on the Five Gifts podcast. We hope you have a great week, and we'll see you a week from today. You've been listening to the Five Gifts podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments to give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.